Okay, so do you know what? I thought I'd sit down for a change. And I guess before we start, I don't know about you. I don't know what your year's been so far. But now, personally, I'm not a fan of thinking about Christmas until at least the 1st of December. So now it's official that I can start getting ready for Christmas and start feeling Christmassy. And I don't know about you. Do you ever get this thing where you think, I don't feel Christmassy yet? No. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what has to happen to kind of flick that switch in your head where all of a sudden you feel Christmassy. Because I don't feel Christmassy yet. We've not put our tree up yet. Probably feel Christmassy maybe in about a week's time. Usually for me, putting the Christmas tree up is the switch in my head that makes me feel Christmassy. Maybe some of you that switch happens in July. Maybe some of you that switch happens on the 24th of December. Maybe it will happen on the 18th of December. I don't know. But yeah, I find it, you have such a mad year and then you get to Christmas and sometimes it can feel like Christmas is just a mad rush to get everything done and you don't really stop to appreciate it. So this has got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but I just thought before we begin, do you know what? I think sometimes it's good to just take a minute to just catch your breath and say, it's going to be all right. So I don't know how manic your week's been. I don't know whether you've manically been Christmas shopping yet. I know Brian thought he was going back to work, so he's done everything, and he keeps gloating about it every time I see him. He's done all the wrapping, all the presents, everything. I haven't, but I'd say I haven't. Diane hasn't. I'd like to say that I have a big input on that, but let's be honest, Diane does most of it, and I just help get the tree out of the loft because Diane is scared of the loft. She doesn't like the loft. So I go, and that's my Christmas job. But you know what? Let's just take a breather and say, it's December now. It's going to be okay. Let's just appreciate what's coming up and appreciate what's ahead of us. And there are some great things ahead of us over the coming weeks. But I don't want to lose the point of why we celebrate Christmas. And I don't want to get caught up in just stressing about buying stuff and stressing about having everything, because we don't. Life will go on. If you didn't have a Christmas dinner, you didn't have a turkey, life would go on. Yeah. If your kids go without presents for 1 year because you can't afford them, life goes on. And I think the world doesn't want you to know that, but I think you need to know that. You'll still wake up on the 26th and everything will be okay. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I hope that this morning, that as we get into this frantic time, that you just feel at peace and that you feel relaxed. Because that's what coming to church should be about. It should be about being able to chill out and enjoy yourself and spend time with your friends and spend time with your family. And if that's not what it feels like, maybe that's a different switch in your head that needs to switch on this morning. So I'll move on. So, you know, we've been working on, that makes it sound like a chore, but we've been going through this series, Love Does. And I don't know about you, I absolutely loved going through this Love Does series in our Connect groups. I don't know, I think my aim in life is probably to be Bob Goff. I just think he's awesome. And I think part of that is in the first episode, he had a VW camper van, which I absolutely love. And that probably made me think, this guy's pretty cool to begin with. But yeah, I think he does just come across as really, really chilled out about stuff. And I think it's a great way to be. So I've really enjoyed it. And I don't know how many of you are part of our Connect groups now. Many of you spent the last Connect group getting excited about different things that we can do to make a difference. You know, if you were part of our partners night a few weeks ago, you know that one of the big things for next year is we want to do more stuff in the community. And I know in our Connect group, we were just getting excited about some of the ideas that we had for our community in 2017. And I think it's going to be really cool finding out about what we're going to do next year and the difference that we're going to make. And this time next year, it'd be great to sit down and say, oh, what a brilliant 2017 we've had. What a great list of things we've done. Look at these people that we've helped in our community. And I think that's going to be really exciting. So we've got a lot of exciting things to come ahead. But as we start December and we start our series looking at Christmas, as we finish this Love Does series, I think the greatest example of that is having a look at what Jesus did. So I've called today's message Love Did. And we're just going to go through some of the things that Jesus did. And hopefully Jesus demonstrates this audacious love that Bob Goff talked about, this audacious way of being and an audacious way of sharing our lives with other people. And by the end of this morning, I'd love you to be able to take away just two or three things that are going to help you to love like Jesus loved. And I think the problem is that sometimes it doesn't come naturally. And in the same way that sometimes that switch hasn't been turned on in our brains to naturally feel inclined to do the things, to do those things to kind of love people. I don't know about you. I know sometimes I don't naturally feel like I want to be outgoing and talk to people that I don't know. I don't naturally want to go out and share with people. I think I'm quite a reserved person in my private life. And that's okay. Maybe you struggle to share that love that Jesus gave with other people. And that's okay. And, you know, there are times when it's harder than others. Sometimes it's really easy to share your love with your husband or your wife, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes you go through periods in your life where you're just frustrated and it takes everything out of you and you struggle to give that love. But that's okay. Sometimes we're running on empty. Sometimes we're burnt out, we're stressed, we're run down, we're tired. We're preoccupied with the things that are bothering us, like, you know, maybe you can't afford to buy the presents you want to buy this Christmas. Maybe you haven't got the time off that you thought you were going to have with your family. Maybe there are things going around your head right now that stop you from being the person that Jesus wants you to be and sharing the love that Jesus wants you to share. And we all get into those periods of our life. Maybe we feel like we're giving up on it, but that's okay. So we're just going to look at some ways that Jesus actually did love with us. And before we do, you know, it's not about showing to God that we deserve his love, because we don't have to earn anything. In fact, it might not be a very nice way to live, but you could spend the rest of your life being a really miserable person. And you're not going to lose your salvation for that. But that's not the way that God wants you to be. You know, loving Jesus is not an impossible feat. And sharing that love with other people is not an impossible thing to do either. Showing love, it's about understanding the importance of every other person to God. Wow. And when you kind of see someone in that way, you see how important that person is to God, it helps you to share that love with them the way that God wants you to share it. So let's get straight into this then. First thing, Jesus' love was messy. I'm not talking about the actual birth, although I'm pretty sure that was probably quite a messy event. I'm talking about actually what led up to that point. You know, it was messy. It wasn't the clean-cut marriage and birth that everyone expected. We're going to have a look at a passage in the Bible. This comes from Matthew 1, and it's 18 to 24. It is up on the screen. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, it's a very delicate way of putting it, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So already it's messy. It was frowned upon. It was the sort of thing that society kind of shunned. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Everything about that is messy. Everything about the way that Jesus was conceived is just something that we wouldn't approve of. In fact, even a lot of us Christians here today would probably, if they were being honest, if someone came in with that situation, you might try hard not to, but you probably might judge them. Because we kind of have this preconceived idea of what is right and what is wrong and what we should accept. And if nothing else, it shows, you know what, when we see someone going through a messy part of their life, it teaches us that actually that's okay. That's okay. And if we look at them the way that God looks at them, we accept them and we welcome them and we love them. So it was messy. Demonstrating love can be messy. And I don't just mean romantic love. Although that can be messy. I think back over when I was younger, and that was messy for me. You know, I made some terrible mistakes with girls that I liked, and it was messy. When I was very, very little, I remember like my first girl that I really liked to school when I was like in, I don't know, primary school, what's that, year 5, 6, something like that. And I remember like my first act of, I'm going to show this girl love and writing a Valentine's Day card. And the first one that I wrote, and I was absolutely bricking it, is the only way I could think to describe it. I was absolutely terrified. And I wrote this card and, you know, like, didn't put my name in it, made it all secretive, hoping that she, you know, she'd find out who it was. And I remember the messiness of her then going out with my best mate. And it was awful. And sometimes, you know, things like that, little things that seem so, like, jokey and in the past, affect the way that you then try and demonstrate love in the future. I'm not saying that that happened a lot, but you know, those things do affect the way that we then try and show our love, because it's messy and things don't go according to plan. And I don't know whether you've ever been in this situation, if you're married, where you think you're going to do something that you think is going to be the most romantic thing that you can do for your husband or your wife, and you plan it and you do it, and it just is not received in the way that you planned it. I don't know if that's just me that's happened to, or whether anyone else will admit to it, but you know, you plan something and they're like, no, that's not really what I thought. Have you, Paul? Thanks, Paul. That makes me feel so much more confident about what I'm about to say. Sometimes showing love is uncomfortable, and sometimes showing love is messy. But, you know, God was prepared to get messy to demonstrate his love for you. So here's your first challenge of the morning. What are you going to do that's going to be messy this Christmas? What can you do that isn't in your comfort zone, that will just show love to somebody else? Something that's uncomfortable, something that's inconvenient in your busy run up to Christmas, something that's different, something that's messy. Love is messy, but that's okay. You know, the second thing is that love came down to our level. when God sent Jesus to be with us and to live with us, it was a sacrifice. We're going to read another little passage, and this one's from John 1. It says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it." You know, when God sent Jesus to this earth, that was a huge sacrifice. Because Jesus was God and was with God. And he was elevated above all of us. And yet, he came down to our level to be with us, to demonstrate his love for us. He made a big sacrifice. If you think about it, Jesus and God, they're supreme. And in comparison, we're pretty primitive. And yet, he was prepared to come down to our level so that he could talk to us at our level. And I was thinking about, well, how do I kind of equate this into our lives? Because that could sound quite condescending, couldn't it? How am I going to stoop to somebody else's level to demonstrate love to them? That's not really, I think, kind of the message that I want to get across this morning. So how do we take that and apply that to ourselves? We don't want to be arrogant, but there are people that maybe are in a position that need our help. And it's not to say that we're seeing them as beneath ourselves, but yet we see them as needing that extra love and that extra support. And sometimes we need to come down from wherever we are, whatever is going on in our mind. Maybe our mind is up here because we're thinking about all the stuff we've got to do and the presents and the turkey and getting the Christmas dinner ready and seeing family and booking our holidays off and getting stuff ready for carol services and all those stuff, getting to the end of term, getting our homework in, doing our essays, whatever it is, whatever those things that are up here, yeah. We need to come down from that and help those that need help and show love to those that need love showing to them. It's not about looking down on people, but it's about coming down from our own preoccupied state to help people around us. Maybe it's more about getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's more about doing things that you wouldn't normally do, talking to people that you wouldn't normally talk to, finding a way of sharing love in a way that you wouldn't normally do. Maybe you buy a present for someone that you wouldn't normally buy a present for. Maybe you speak to your neighbor when you wouldn't normally speak to them. Maybe you don't get on with your neighbor and maybe you need to try and build some bridges and demonstrate God's love to them. Maybe there's a member of your family who you know you don't get on with as well as everybody else and maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and do something to demonstrate that love this Christmas. Do something you wouldn't normally do. Third thing that Jesus did at Christmas. Love put itself out there. And I have to say, when I wrote this down, I was thinking, that sounds like a dating tip. It sounds like, hey, if you're going to get the right girl, you've got to put yourself out there. That's not really what I mean. So let's just clear that from our minds now. So, you know, Jesus put himself out there. He didn't come down to the earth and he didn't just hang around with the Christians and hang around with his disciples all the time. He went out and he spent his entire life out there with everybody else. And again, I don't know about you, Christmas time can very easily consume you into, well, I'm doing this with my family and I'm planning this for my family and I'm doing this at home. And you can get so drawn into being like insular and isolated that you don't actually just get out there and spend time with different people. And yet we have this amazing example in the Bible of Jesus just going out and spending time with the people that people that were on the outskirts, people that other people in society had shunned. And yet Jesus goes out and hangs around with those people and relates to those people and talks to those people. You know, it says this in Mark 2:17. It says, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You know, we can take that and apply it to the love that we share. Do you know what? Our families need love, but there are people out there that need love. Jesus' love wasn't just for us to feel comfortable and warm and fuzzy at Christmas. Jesus' love is about the awkward, the messy, the inconvenient, the people who need our love. I said earlier that I'm quite a insular person. I tend to be quite private. I struggle with this one probably the most. I don't naturally want to go out and talk to people that I don't know. But people need Jesus. And do you know what? The one time of year where actually, if you're going to go out and talk to people about Jesus, is this not the best time of year for it to come up naturally in conversation? There's a great opportunity there to share that love with other people around you. Maybe it's something as simple as inviting someone to the carol service. Maybe it's as simple as writing a Christmas card when you don't normally write a Christmas card. Whatever it is, what a great opportunity. Don't miss it because your head's elsewhere. So three amazing things that Jesus did and demonstrated in the way that he loved us. So what I want to do is I just want to, just for a few minutes, I want to just talk to you about some great things that are going to help you to do all that God wants you to do this Christmas, and things that help you to demonstrate that love that Jesus shows for you when you show it to other people. So three things, and if you're making notes, write these three things down, because this is what I want you to take away from this morning. You know, the first thing that I want to tell you is this: you're not doing it on your own. Jesus actually didn't do his own ministry on his own. He chose people. He chose disciples to be with him. You don't have to do it alone. Maybe that for you is the challenge. Maybe you prefer keeping yourself to yourself. Maybe you don't naturally want to get involved with other people. Maybe you turn up on a Sunday morning and you stay for the service and you don't really talk to people and you go away again. Maybe you just struggle to go out and talk to people. But you don't have to do it on your own, because there's always going to be someone there with you. And that someone is Jesus. He's always going to be there. He's always got your back. He's always there to help you when you need it. You know, it says this in Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If you've sat through the first part of what I'm saying today and actually there's something niggling you and it's like, you know what it is that you need to do. Maybe you know it's that neighbor you need to talk to. Maybe you know it's that family member where your relationship has broken down. Maybe there's something that you're sitting in and it's niggling you now because you're thinking, I need to do something about that. If that's you, then you need to know that you're not in it on your own. You have God there helping you. That's an awesome thing to know. That's an amazing thing to know, that you're not on your own. Yeah. Second thing is this. You know that God will help you to see people differently. You know, I said early on that part of the challenge is that we can be quite judgmental of people. And actually, the challenge is to look at people the way that God looks at them. And when you can do that, it's so much easier to show love to people because you're doing it from a completely different point of view. Again, that for me equates to one of those like switches that needs to switch in your head. And maybe for you, you find that quite easy. But maybe you struggle with that. So maybe for you this morning, the challenge is, do you know what, God? I can be quite judgmental of people. I can be quite, you know, I judge a book by its cover. And what I need to do is I need to start seeing people from the inside, seeing people how you see them. Maybe that's your challenge for this morning. Maybe that's the one thing that you need to take away. It says this in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" That's 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Maybe that's the encouragement you need to see people differently this Christmas. For me, that challenge is outworked in this way. I normally, when I go into town, I'm pretty like single-minded, especially when it's Christmas shopping. You know, shopping in general, Diane likes to look in every shop available and then decide what she wants. I've already decided what I want, and I want to go to that one shop, buy it, and go home again. And I can be quite single-minded like that. And, you know, I can hear agreement from some of the other guys in the room. And for me, the challenge there is to actually slow down. And when I walk through town, take the time to actually just look around. Look around at the other people in town. Say, are there opportunities where I could demonstrate God's love here? Maybe it's helping someone. Maybe it's carrying someone's bags. Maybe it's just opening a door for someone. Maybe it's complimenting the shop assistant when you buy your stuff. Whatever it is. When you see people the way that God sees them, it will change the way that you interact with them. I always loved that a few years ago, I remember Paul sharing this, that he loved to go up, like if it was a supermarket, people have the name badges on, actually thanking them by name. And we kind of joked about how it kind of freaks some of them out a bit if you go, "Thanks, Dave." And they go, "What? How do you know who I am?" And it's because your name's there. But actually, do you know what? Just that personal touch this Christmas can be the difference between somebody spending Christmas feeling alone and somebody spending Christmas feeling like that somebody else noticed them. Third thing is this: you don't need to be perfect. You don't have to have got it all together before you can do something good. In fact, it don't matter if you do it wrong. It don't matter if you think, "Hey, do you know what? I'm going to do something that I think is going to show love to this person. I'm going to go and buy this guy a cup of tea because he looks like he needs a cup of tea." And maybe you buy the cup of tea and they go, "Oh, I don't drink tea." What's the worst that could happen? You feel a bit embarrassed. I remember reading a story, I don't know if it was on Facebook or something like that, of someone that like had seen someone homeless sat like on the street and thought, "I'm going to do something really nice." And, you know, they went and bought them a cup of tea and offered them some money, only to be told that they weren't homeless. They were just waiting for the girlfriend who was in the shop or something like that. Now, everything about me hears that story and just thinks, I would hate to have been that person. How embarrassing is that? But do you know what? Is it worth the risk of looking like a bit of an idiot every now and again for the times that it makes a difference? Or are you going to be so scared to get it wrong that you never do anything? It's okay to do stuff wrong. It's okay to get it wrong. You know, a few years ago, and I don't know whether I've ever shared this message, this story before when I was preaching, but a few years ago, we were at Audacious, and it was the year for the youth that were there, or guys that were there, I don't know how long ago it was when it was in Sheffield Town Hall. And I remember praying and seeing this woman who was like a busker on the street, and I had the weirdest message from God. And you know, sometimes you're like, that was from God, I'm going to do that, that's brilliant. And sometimes you're like, I haven't got a clue if this really is from God or if it's just me making it up. You ever have that time when you don't know? Yeah. I don't think I'll ever know. And God gave me that. Well, I say God, I had this bizarre thought, which was, you know, we stood outside a massive Christian event. There's like loads of worship music. The words to this worship music is really brilliant. You know, there's this woman who's a busker, and I just felt like, in my mind, I felt God said, you know what, go on. They were selling music books of the songs, and I said, go and buy her a music book. And I bought her this music book, and I went over and I said, this is going to sound absolutely nuts, but we're in this Christian thing, and I was praying, and God said to me, get you this music book. And she went, oh, right. And that was it. And to this day, I have no idea whether that was God, whether that was me, whether she went away and, you know, saw the light and, you know, accepted Jesus into her heart, or whether she walked down the road and chucked it in the bin. I have no idea. But what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is I feel like an idiot because I don't know. But is it worth it? Yeah, it is. It's worth it. So you don't have to be perfect. Just have to give it a go and see what happens. You know, I've been doing some study for my business over the last few weeks, and one quote that came out of this is, you know, it wasn't a Christian thing, just one quote that came out of this studying that I was doing was this. It just said, keep taking imperfect actions. And the idea behind it is simple. It said, you know, if you've got a great business idea and you spend the next 10 years perfecting your business idea, you'll never do it. And actually, the principle is, you know what, just do something and see how it goes, and then change it a little bit and keep going and kind of get it. You'll eventually get it right. But keep making imperfect actions. And this really stuck with me. And I think the same thing could apply to our lives. Just have a go. Don't matter if you get it wrong. God's going to be there with you. Have a go. It's okay. Maybe you get it wrong the first time. Maybe you get it right the second time or the third time or the fourth time. But it's worth getting it wrong. I mean, let's be blunt, that it's worth getting it wrong, because ultimately we're talking about people's salvation. It's worth getting it wrong because we're talking about the difference between someone going home this Christmas and feeling wanted and someone going home and killing themselves because they're alone and they've got no one with them. We don't know what's going on in other people's minds. But I think it's worth feeling a bit uncomfortable at Christmas if the end result is changing someone's life. So my challenge is this. Go out and inconvenience yourself this Christmas. I'm going to say that again. Go out and inconvenience someone this Christmas. Do something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Do something that makes you feel awkward. Do something that makes you feel like a bit of an idiot if it goes wrong. Do something that makes you feel messy. But do something this Christmas. So we're kind of finishing a little bit early because I want to give a little bit of time, because if we're going to do this, it's uncomfortable. So I'm going to make you a bit more uncomfortable now. And there's the challenge. Are you prepared to feel uncomfortable? Are you prepared to feel uncomfortable? Do you know what? If something that I said this morning has made you think, I need to think differently about this Christmas time. I need to do something different this Christmas. Maybe you've got something in your mind that you know you've got to do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you think, yeah, I'd like to do that, and I haven't got a clue. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And it's awkward, and it's inconvenient, and I'm deliberately kind of making it feel that way for you, because you know what? It's okay. So this is what I'm going to do. If you want to be inconvenienced this Christmas, if you want to get out of your comfort zone, you might feel like an idiot. It might mess up your Christmas routine. While we're all still stood, just sat here, stand up and then we'll pray. But I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm not going to, you know, it's awkward. It's awkward because it's uncomfortable. Are you prepared to be uncomfortable? If you are, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to feel uncomfortable if nobody does, so hey. While everybody is looking around, if you want to be uncomfortable, start now. That's amazing. That's great. That's great. I'm going to pray. And then, you know what, we've got a bit of time, and I think it'd be great for us to worship a little bit more. Guys, if you want to be getting up just while we pray, that'd be fantastic. Okay, so let's pray. If you want to close your eyes. Lord God, I thank you that at Christmas you inconvenienced yourself for us. Yeah. I thank you that you did something messy and awkward and inconvenient. And as a result of what you did, God, we're here today. God, I pray this Christmas time that you would change the way we think about Christmas, that you would flip those switches in our head. Help us to see people differently. Help us to get out of our comfort zone, do stuff that's messy. Help us to not worry about making mistakes. And I pray that you would fill this room with great stories. When we meet back in January, great stories of stuff you did this Christmas, Lord. Here's the challenge. Lord, I pray that in January we'll be bringing our friends in, our neighbors in, some random person we met into church, because of what you did in us this Christmas. So I pray for every single person standing. I pray that you would give them opportunities to have a go at doing something different to share your love this Christmas. Yes, God. Lord, I thank you because you are awesome and you've got it all in your hand, Lord. You know what's going to happen. And Lord, I thank you for the courage and the faith of every single person in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.